Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Okay. Oh, there. Sorry about the technical difficulties this morning, but welcome. It's so nice to have you all here with us today. Special welcome to any visitors we have with us. I'd like to highlight a few announcements on the back of our bulletin as we begin our service this day. The big news is we have Room in the Inn that we're hosting this week. Down in the fellowship hall. So a special thanks to everyone who signed up to help out with that, with the food, with being innkeepers and all of that. That'll be going on all week. Our missions committee is going to be doing supper tonight. Is that right, Merritt? And we're going to have a brief meeting at 7 just following that. Also, our worship committee is going to meet tomorrow at 11 in the chapel. And just draw your attention to those other notices there. Any announcements that may not have made it into the bulletin? Well, if not, I invite you to join with me in our opening hymn. It's actually misprinted there. It's number 57, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you.
And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 761, as we read responsively from Psalm 29, 761. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare.
And in his temple all cry glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with
Please be seated. And I'll invite our children to come forward for our children's time with Miss Margaret this morning. Make sure your mic works.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks very much. Good morning. Good morning. Come on, I know you have tongues in your mouth. Can you say good morning to Miss Margaret? Thank you. It's much better when you say good morning, because then I know that you are awake and that you're going to listen to what I say. So now I want you to stand up. And stand up. And you have a good look around. I want you to turn around and look over there. And look at the windows all around and over here. Now, you can sit down again. Now then, what do you notice that is different this week to what it was last week? Do you know? What did we have around last week that we don't have around today? Speak up. Not there anymore. And then we had this stable where Jesus was born, where you put the wise men. All the animals and the shepherds were already there, and Mary and Jesus was there. So now the church is still so beautiful, but it's not as festive looking as it was last week. So you know, now we're at the beginning of a new year. And so we're going to think about, people like to think about what they're going to do this year, in a new year. Have you decided what you want to do? I think a lot of people out there have decided that they want to lose some weight. I know I do. That's one of my resolutions. And I did think of another one, which I've already done, but I've not lost any weight yet, so we'll have to see how that goes during the year. So I'm sure that you would all love to do really well at school and try really harder than you did last year. I'm sure you'd all like to be good to your friends. and make a new beginning for this year, because that's what our church life is going to be like. It starts today with new beginnings. And everyone has been thinking about that. Now, you know, one day, Jesus was walking along the River Jordan, and he saw a crowd of people. And Jesus knew who, someone was in the water, and he knew who that was, and that was John the Baptist. So Jesus walked up, and people were so excited about John the Baptist, they used to follow him all over the place to get baptized. And so when Jesus walked up, he said to John the Baptist, "I would like you to baptize me." John the Baptist looked at Jesus because he knew who he was, but the other people were not quite sure who this person was. So John the Baptist said, "Well, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus said, "You need to baptize me." So Jesus got into the water, and John the Baptist was baptizing him. And as Jesus came up out of the water, because he went under and then up, and the heavens opened, and a dove came down from heaven and settled on Jesus. And that was God sending his son Jesus the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, and then they heard a voice from heaven, and the voice was saying, "This is my son." And that he was very proud of him and loved him. And so when Jesus, you know, before Jesus was baptized, he didn't do any miracles at all. So Jesus was making a new beginning. He had other new beginnings in his life, especially when he was born as a baby. But he was, after he was baptized, he was able to do miracles and lots of wonderful things. And so people used to follow him around, and because of his life and the Holy Spirit working within him, people knew that he really was the Son of God. So a lot of people started following Jesus, and Jesus started new beginnings in his life. So I want you to think about that this morning and see what you can do for this next year, and what new things you can do to make your life a lot better, okay? There's lots that you can do. You can work harder at school. I know you're all good children, but there's lots more that we can all do. So let's see what game. What are you going to do?
Play video games.
Oh, it's going to play video games. So let's stand up. Let's stand up and say a little prayer. Would you like to all hold hands? You can hold my hand too. Come on, let's go around. Can you hold my arm? Everyone hold hands. Okay, good. Heavenly Father, please be with these precious children and help them to make their new beginnings throughout this year. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So now I need two. Would you like to help? You go that side and wait for the tin to come around, and then we'll collect some money. There's going to be, and you go that way with, and you, okay? One start this way. You go that way.
I'd like to remind everybody that our red tent collections this month are for Doctors Without Borders, or Médecins Sans Frontières, which John Stewart spent some time with in increasingly troubled South Sudan back in October. Next month, we'll be collecting money for school uniforms for Ghana. As we've done for the last couple of years, we have been very lucky, I think, in enabling a number of children to attend school who wouldn't have been able to without the uniforms that we've gotten for them. Tonight, we begin Room in the Inn, as Curtis said. I'd like to remind those of us who have been here for a while, this is a little hard for me to get my mind around. This is our 14th year doing Room in the Inn in this church. Yes. Other churches have come and gone. Bigger churches than us, richer churches than us, have found themselves unable to do it. We've been faithful servants, I think, of the community in this way for 14 years, and we continue. And I would like to thank everybody who's done something to help with this, whether you've been an innkeeper or brought food or helped unload the mattresses or put them back or wash the blankets or whatever. There is one remaining need. Madeline needs one more innkeeper either Thursday or Friday night. And I know many of you already committed, but if you could be an innkeeper either Thursday or Friday night, if you would mention it to Madeline, that would be much appreciated. Next week is Human Relations Sunday. I'd just like to read this quotation from Robert Kennedy, who says, "Every time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he or she sends forth a tiny ripple of hope." And that's partly what we do with Human Relations Sunday. There will be a special collection taken up, so if you're one of the people who doesn't bring money or a checkbook to church and we don't yet take debit cards, please bring something with you next Sunday. And finally, also in its 14th year is our collection of food from Manna Food Bank. If you weren't here in those days, you might be interested in knowing that the way we decided to do this was this church entered its third century in 2001. This church dates to 1801. And we decided that it would be a meaningful thing to do to celebrate our 2001, our 200th anniversary, to collect 2,001 pounds of tuna. Tuna was our substance the first year. And, of course, this advances every year. So this year we're going to be collecting 2,014 pounds, and we're back once again to tuna. So I would just remind you, please get some tuna when you get a chance. We'll also take money and convert it into tuna. Buy tuna. Can't convert money into tuna, but we can buy tuna anyway. So anyway, I'll just remind you of that. This church has a strong and proud mission program, and let's carry on with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Merritt. And before our scriptures are read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, at the Jordan you revealed Jesus as your Son, and as we hear your word this morning, may we recognize him as our Lord and know ourselves to be your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you will find it on page 630 of the Old Testament. The version that I will be reading this morning is slightly different from that, so please bear with me. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout nor cry out, nor raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you."
Thank you for that lovely song. I invite you now to turn your attention to the third chapter of Matthew, our gospel lesson this day as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Hear now the word of our Lord and Savior. Then Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Her name was Grace. Grace was a regular attender of the first church that I served once we came back from England. And Grace was a very quiet lady. She always kind of kept to herself. You might say she was a little bit introverted. But Grace was one of the sweetest ladies that I knew. This was down in Baden, kind of outside of Albemarle, towards the eastern end of the state, very much culturally on the eastern end of the state. And the first time I met Grace was on the doorstep of the parsonage. She was in her 80s at that time even, and she showed up with a jar, and that's always nice, right? She shows up with a jar of that eastern North Carolina delicacy, chow chow. Anybody ever had that or even heard of it? It's not dog food. It's, I don't know what it is, but the one that she made, she gave me the spicy one because she heard that I liked spicy stuff, and it was fantastic. But Grace was also on oxygen, and this was back before they had the little smaller things of oxygen you could carry around, and so Grace was always wheeling around a big canister of the oxygen, and she came to our Wednesday morning Bible study. We had done a rather long series on the book of Revelation, of all things, and learned a lot. And Grace, she would come, and I got so accustomed to hearing the hissing of the oxygen tank, you know, that it would rhythmically just go and disperse its contents, along with our conversations together and the other 10 or so ladies in the room. I don't think they specifically kicked the men out, but it just so happened it was always the ladies that came on Wednesday mornings for that Bible study. And I'll never forget, Grace came into my office immediately after our next to last Bible study, and she told me that she wanted to join the church and that she wanted to be baptized. And I said, "Well, Grace, you've not been baptized?" She was in her 80s. And she said, "No, I've never been baptized. I've never actually even joined a church." She said, "I only started attending church just a few years ago, just kind of off and on." But she really said that she felt moved to join the church, to be a part of the community, and to take part in all of that. And so I said, well, that's wonderful, Grace. What Sunday would you like to do it?" And she said, "Oh, well, I'd rather not do it on a Sunday in front of everyone," because she also had a condition that caused her to shake rather visibly a lot. She was not in good health when I knew her. And she was a little self-conscious about being up front in front of everyone there at the church. And so she said, "Would it be possible for us to do it in the context of the Bible study on Wednesday morning? You know, would it be possible for us at the end of it to have a worship service of sorts, and maybe I could get baptized then and could invite my son to come and see and be a part of it too?" And I said, well, certainly, Grace. I think that'll be fine. You mind if, you know, we invite the rest of the church if they'd like to come?" And she said, no, that's fine. That's fine. I just want it to be a small thing." And so we generally had about 50 people in worship. And that Wednesday morning, we had 75 there in the church. Grace wheeled her oxygen tank up to the front and received baptism for the first time when she was about 85 years old. It was a magical moment almost. It's one I'll never forget. Grace died just a few months after that. And as I was visiting her in the hospital, I was talking with her about that. And I said, you know what, Grace? It's the funniest thing because I'm used to baptizing infants. You know, and you get the cute little infant up there and you pour the water on their head and they start screaming furiously, typically, like they actually know what it is that you're doing to them, initiating them into this thing we call the church. I think it's kids that know better than the adults sometimes. And I told her I'm used to taking the little infant and walking around the church, you know, and showing them their proud newest member of the church. And I told her that in that moment when she was baptized, and three other people said the same thing to me. They said, you know what, I felt like it was Grace lifting all of us up that day at her baptism. I thought it was just a magnificent testimony to faith and to the faith of community. And when I was in the hospital with her a few months later, she died of cancer. And as I was in the hospital with her, I was telling her about that moment. And she said, you know, I know that I'm part of God's kingdom, not because of the choice I made, not because of the fact that I came to you and said, I want to be baptized, I want to be a member of the church, I want to be a member of the community. She said, I know that I have a place, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did for me and because of what Jesus did to me. She said, my baptism wasn't about me. It was about God. And, I've gone to seminary. I've gone to grad school and college and all that stuff. I've studied a lot about baptism, but I have yet to encounter anything as simple and yet profound and true as just what Grace said that day, that baptism was not about her, but it was about God. That baptism was not so much about something that she did to claim God, but something that God did to claim her. And I think that's a wonderful way for us to look at baptism. Baptism's a funny thing like that. I mean, we look at the story of Jesus' baptism in Matthew's gospel this morning, and we have questions, most of us do. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? I mean, if he's without sin, why did Jesus need to be baptized? I mean, that's what John was saying to him even in trying to talk him out of getting baptized. Well, you should be baptizing me, not the other way around. But it's because baptism is not just about what we do for God, but about what God does for us, to claim us, to mark us, to shape us, to mold us into his servants in a very public way. And I just think it's sad that so many times baptism becomes an issue that divides Christians instead of an issue that unites us. That some folks get hung up so much on the method, whether it was immersion or submersion, whether you were dunked three times or just once, whether you were of an age where you understood what was going on or whether you were an infant. You know, it frustrates me that we as followers of Jesus can often get so hung up on the method or who did it and forget all about the main thing that's there. And that is about God's claim upon us, about what God does for us. It's not about our understanding. It's about God's understanding of us and about what God is doing for us. The primary purpose of baptism is not about any of us. It's about God. And it's about all of us all at once. It's a fantastic and wonderful mystery. Baptism is not even about us understanding what God does in that watery moment, but rather about being understood by the one who brought us out of slavery through the water and into a land flowing with milk and honey. In the early church, there was a guy named Tertullian. Aren't you glad your parents didn't name you Tertullian? Though I do think it would be nice to just go by one name. Wouldn't that be cool every now and then? Think of all the famous Plato, Aristotle, Buddha. You know, I mean, just one prince. No, that's not a good example, is it? But Tertullian, one of our brothers in the faith, writing in the second century, he writes to us about the baptism practice. And at this point, the Sunday where they celebrated the baptism of the Lord or the baptism of any person was even more important than Christmas. See, Christmas didn't become one of those things that was celebrated all that much until very recently in the history of the church. Yet the baptism of the Lord was so important. Tertullian, he writes this in the second century. He says, "When we are going to enter the water, we solemnly profess that we disown the devil, his pomp, and his angels. Hereupon we are thrice immersed. Then, when we are taken up, we taste first a mixture of milk and honey. And from that day, we refrain from the daily bath for a whole week." I hope the little ones aren't listening who gnash their teeth and wail at a daily bath as opposed to just a weekly one. But I think different ways and different traditions are a good thing, not so much a thing that we should look down upon someone else for and say, you're wrong and I'm right, but something that we could celebrate. I mean, there was always a great diversity in the early church with regards to baptism and with regards to everything else for that matter. One of the practices that I really like, if you'd ever really like to read up on something relating to baptism and learn more, I really encourage you to read something from a different tradition than our own. I know I am an ordained Methodist minister. I fully embrace the Methodist Church, but I think also we can learn from others. One of my favorite guys, he was a Russian Orthodox priest. His name was Alexander Schmemann. Again, another name that you are glad is probably not your last name, right? And Schmemann, he writes, he's got a wonderful book called By Water and the Spirit. And in that, he discusses the Orthodox liturgy for baptism. And in the Orthodox tradition, you face to the west and you symbolically spit on Satan. How awesome is that? Spitting on Satan, spitting in church. Never thought you'd get to do that, would you? But I love the richness of that image of spitting on Satan, you know? Or as Tertullian would say, disowning the devil, his pomp, and his angels. You know, baptism is such a public reclamation of all that. Such a public recognition of all that. Spitting on Satan. What a great thing. Well, one other tradition. Maybe we shouldn't embrace all of those too much. One of the early traditions was that when you were baptized, whether you were an infant or an adult, the baptized person would be naked. That would wake us up, wouldn't it? Would be naked and then would receive a white robe that they would wear for 3 days. It's a nice image, maybe a little too symbolic for most of us. But nonetheless, I think these traditions are something that we should be proud of, that we should embrace, that we should learn from, not just something we should say, you're wrong and I'm right. Because one of the things that Jesus' baptism reminds us of, and that our own baptisms remind us of, is that call and that mark upon our lives, not just a personal thing. It is personal, but it's not just personal. But that communal thing, that standing up in front of someone else and saying, yes. And saying, yes, this is God's call upon me. You are my beloved son or daughter. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus' baptism is not just his own, it's all of ours. I love the images and the metaphors associated with all this, but I invite you this day to remember your own baptism and to remember all of our baptisms. and to remember that it's not just about us, but it's about all of us. It's not just about you, but it's about the way that you work and live and move and have your being in this world, but it's also about the way that we do that together as the family of God. So remember your baptism and be thankful. And, you know, it might even compel you to spit on Satan every now and then, but please do so outside the church. Amen. Our hymn is number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. I invite you to stand as we join together in song. Number 334. Please be seated. Draw your attention to our prayer list as we come to that time in our service when we concentrate on prayer. Draw your attention to all of the names and situations and people listed here on our prayer list. And also ask that you remember the family of Larry Moorhead, Rick's uncle, who passed away Saturday night. If you'll keep family of Larry Moorhead in your prayers. And also, Betty Hayes is back at Emerald Ridge, but because of the flu outbreak, they've asked not for for visitors to be around. But please keep her in your prayers as well. And you may notice Anne looks a little different today. Deborah, thank you for your service today in Anne's place. Anne has the flu as well, so please keep her in your prayers, and indeed all of those who are in need. And also remember Hughes Chisholm. I've heard he's had a bit of a setback, and if we'll keep Hughes in our prayers as well. Are there others that you would lift up this day? Well, if not, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you this day proudly, being claimed as your children, as your servants, as your people. We give you thanks for your claim upon our lives, O Lord, and we ask that you give us the strength to live into that life. We ask that you give us the forgiveness that we need, not only ourselves, but that we should be extending to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift up to you this day all of those who are in need. We remember especially all the participants of room in the inn and those who seek to serve them this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you all of those who are sick, especially those near and dear to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you, O Lord, the homeless in our community as they endure cold weather, as they endure hunger. Help us, O Lord, that with your servants that we might reach out to all of those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, for these gifts and for all the blessings of this life, we offer you ourselves and our thanks and praise. Accept these our gifts to you, that they might go to alleviate suffering in the world and that they might go to your glory. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's number 437. This is my song, 437. now in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.